Again, we turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 1. This morning, looking at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Henry Law, who was one time Dean of Gloucester, observed that the apostle enters upon the subject of his epistle through the vestibule of adoration. It is a happy state, he goes on to say, when each thought of God kindles the flame of holy rapture in the heart. And this whole introductory passage is a paean of praise, a doxology, as the Apostle Paul dwells upon the Trinitarian character of our salvation. The Father, in electing, verses 3 to 6, the Son in redeeming, verses 7 to 12, and the Spirit in sealing, verses 13 and 14. And you will notice that at the end of each of those sections relating to the persons of the Holy Trinity, there is an expression of praise, a refrain to the praise of his glory. And so when he deals with the Father electing 3 to 6, he concludes to the praise of the glory of his grace. And when he speaks of the Son redeeming, verses 7 to 12, he concludes to the praise of his glory. And when he speaks of the Spirit sealing in verses 13 and 14, he ends unto the praise of his glory, verse 14. Paul begins, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word bless means to speak well. Now, God speaks well concerning us and actually brings good to us. We can only speak well of him, declaring his goodness. Paul Bain, the Puritan, says, blessing is sometimes operative, working and effecting the happiness of him that is blessed. Thus God blesseth us. But sometimes it is declarative, blessing and extolling the blessed state of those whom we bless. Thus we bless God. We acknowledge his blessed, him blessed, we praise him, and we extol him. And that's a helpful distinction in blessing. Blessing is operative when it is God blessing us. It is declarative when we bless God. Now, the word blessed occurs a number of times in the New Testament. You'll find it in the Gospels, for example, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. The Zacharias, the father of the Baptist, says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And you'll find it again and again in the epistles, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three words used in worship, and they are to be distinguished from each other. There's praise, and there's thanksgiving, and there's blessing. Now, praise relates to God's excellence. It concentrates on who God is, and it recognizes who he is and responds accordingly. So in Psalm 99 and verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. It's because God is possessed of this holiness that he is praised. Praise relates to his excellence. Thanks or thanksgiving relates to his works. And so we read in Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I will give thanks unto thee forever. It is because God has done something for him that he gives thanks to God. Praise relates to his excellence, thanks to his wonderful works, and blessing to his gifts. So you have those well-known words in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So praise fastens on the excellence of God. Thanks fastens on the works of God. But blessing fastens on the gifts of God. And there is blessing here, because Paul has in mind the favors and the bestowments of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. John Macpherson, the Scottish writer, says the apostle rejoices in the privilege to be permitted thus to bless God is itself one of the highest spiritual blessings wherewith God blesses his people. Let me just concentrate upon those opening words to begin with. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God is the Blessed One. That's what he is called in Scripture, the Blessed God. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 61, Jesus was asked, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? God is the Blessed. And what does that mean? It means that God is free from all evil and possessed of all good. That's what blessedness is. Freedom from all evil and possessing all good. And God would find a vent for his goodness. And he finds that vent in bringing good things to his people and conferring upon them special favors. And when God does that, out of his blessedness, he blesses us. Then there is what Thomas Manton calls the echo and reflex of his grace and mercy to the creatures. We acknowledge what we've received. We acknowledge the giver of all good. We bless God. We speak well of God, who out of his fullness has given us grace upon grace. Now, to bless God must mean that we are in a state of grace, because it means that we must be persuaded of his love and of all his benefits. We can't really speak well of God in all the fullness of that expression, in all the latitude of that expression, unless we have experienced the expressions of his love, unless we have received gifts of his grace. So it is those who have known of the love of God and who've been blessed with all that comprises the salvation of God, it is them who can really bless the Lord. That is why Psalm 145 speaks of the saints of God blessing the Lord. It's something which is peculiar to God's blessed people. Psalm 145:10, all of thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Much beside the people of God can acknowledge the excellence that is in God. They can praise him. But only the saints who have known the goodness of God can really bless him. And having known this in our hearts, these wonderful favors, then we are able to express them on our lips. And the more so as the Holy Spirit is given to us, because it is the Holy Spirit's ministry to stir us up that we might praise God. This blessing of God, says one, is nothing else but the vent for the Spirit. The Spirit within the believer is so aware of the blessing that has come into the soul that the Spirit longs for there to be grateful return to God, and he is moving all the time and exciting us to praise God. And when we are full of the Spirit, then we are full of the blessing of praise. It is a word that indicates that our hearts by the Spirit are just full. Scripture speaks of a merry heart. And our hearts are full. Full because of the way God has dealt with us and God has blessed us. And this doesn't concern a time of prosperity only, but a time of adversity too. You remember the patriarch Job in Job 1:21, after his losses says, "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We can bless God even in adversity. We can bless him because he is the same, whatever twist our life takes, and that he is able to turn the most unwelcome affliction to our good. And he is able to bestow such comforts upon our hearts, give us such peace and contentment in such a time, that we are able to bless God even in adversity. Friends, so wonderfully does God bless his people that there is no way we can really speak honorably enough of God, or no way in which we can make suitable return. Do you remember the words of Nehemiah 9:5? "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." In other words, we can't attain unto the full response for all God's kindness to us and all those favors that he has granted us and all those gifts which he has lavished upon us day by day. Truly the Lord loadeth us with blessing. But we do desire to acknowledge more and more and to appreciate more and more what God has given to us. And as we do so, we are never more like the people of God around the throne of God in heaven, who are saying, "Blessing unto our God forever and forever." How can we be in heaven, says Richard Sibbes, more than by practicing of that which the saints and angels and the cherubims and seraphims spend all their strength in? In other words, the more we align ourselves with the saints and angels of glory, the more we approve what God has done and make return for what God has given to us, the more we speak well of the Lord our God, the more heaven is in us and we are in heaven. Well, my friends, before we leave this, we must rebuke surely our deadness of heart. We fail to gather up material for our worship. We need to do what others have taught us to do, to count our blessings and to name them one by one. To realize that God has brought many good things into our lives, that God has enriched us with his unsearchable riches, that we have benefited from the favors of the God of heaven, and we're a blessed people. He has spoken and effected good concerning us, and we can only speak good concerning him. Blessed be the God who is the God of our salvation. So what are these blessings? Well, the verse describes them, and there's a threefold description here. They are divine, they are spiritual, and they are heavenly. First of all, they are divine. the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us. Now God is said to bless us. That is to communicate or bestow good upon us. And what a thought that is, that the blessings we have, in which we rejoice this morning, for which we give expression of gratitude, they are divine. God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath blessed us. Only God can bless us in the particular way envisaged by the Apostle Paul. He has authority to bless us, in that he has a right to all these particular blessings of which we shall speak. And he has a sufficiency to bless each and every one of his people. And because he has a right to confer these benefits, and because he has an abundance out of which to confer these benefits, God only can bless us. And when he blesses as the great God of heaven. He blesses with his gifts. We might know a very wealthy person, and this person promises us a gift. Our expectations are raised because of the nature of the person. So our expectations are raised here when we read, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath blessed us. No wonder we read that prayer in the Old Testament, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And whom God blesses, he blesses indeed. He blesses in a way that is worthy of God. According to all his worth and his wealth. And what is the spring of this blessing? Well, you could speak of his goodwill as the spring of it. You could speak of his love as the spring of it. But the spring, really, of these blessings that Paul has in view here is the covenant God has made. He speaks of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is a covenant expression. When in the Old Testament God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he meant, I am a God who is in covenant with these men. And when in the New Testament we read that God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it means that he is a God who is in covenant with his Son, who has agreed with his Son, who has united with his Son to bless his people for time and for eternity. So the source of these blessings is the everlasting covenant. And you and I may feel so unworthy. And yet these covenants are gracious. These gifts, rather, are gracious. They're given without respect to a person's standing, or with respect out of respect to a person's state. It is the covenant of grace. And what he gives out of his grace. And we receive grace. That is blessing which is undeserved and unrelated to merit. Blessing which is freely given by God himself. Now, these blessings are mentioned in the rest of this chapter, or some of them are. The gift of election, the gift of predestinating love, the gift of being accepted, the gift of being forgiven, the gift of adoption, the gift of receiving an inheritance, the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are divine blessings. And Paul says they are already ours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. All the blessing that the heart of God conceived has already been brought into our possession. In what sense? That they are all contained within the covenant. Already, as marked for us, they are all in the hands of Christ, already, to be distributed to us. They are all in the promises of the gospel, already, to be fulfilled to us. The blessings are divine. God, in his greatness, has seen fit to communicate good in a way that is worthy of God. And he's done this in agreement with his Son, who has performed everything necessary that these blessings may come our way. And they are freely given to us in the grace of God. And these gifts are various, and they are many, and they are already ours. We are sure to have them. We are blessed already in Christ. They are divine. Secondly, they are spiritual. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, what does that mean? It means, I believe, that the blessings which have come to the people of God are very special blessings indeed. They are not such blessings as are common to men in things temporal and things physical. They are blessings which are peculiar to the people of God. They are things spiritual. What God has planned for them, what Christ has purchased for them, what the Holy Spirit would reveal to them, these are the choicest blessings of God, the spiritual blessings. And they are so called because they are conveyed to the soul. It is God which worketh in us. And it is he who revives the spirit of the contrite ones. And he blesses our souls. And so they are spiritual, as coming from the God who is spirit, his special blessings. And they are communicated to the souls of men. And they are spiritual in a third sense, that they are brought to us, not in an ordinary way of operation, but by the working of the Holy Spirit himself. What the New Testament calls the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God coming upon us, the Spirit of God crowning us with God's goodness, that brings to us these spiritual blessings. They are spiritual, fourthly, because they serve a spiritual purpose. That they are meant to deliver us from a state of death and a state of enmity and a state of guilt. They are spiritual because they equip us for service. in this world so that we can live for Christ and so that we can witness for Christ. So you say, what is included in this spiritual blessing? Well, my friends, think of this. Eternal love. That's something spiritual. God has given his love to us. His goodwill. The goodwill of him that dwelleth in the bush. He has looked upon us and he has favored us and he has determined that we shall be distinguished on earth by way of privilege. Redemption. He has delivered us from so great a death and has brought us into the experience of such goodness. Conversion is a spiritual blessing. Pardon, acceptance, the work of the Spirit in making us holy, fellowship with God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, establishment in our Christian life, assurance of acceptance with God and of peace with God, victory over death. The privilege of one day seeing God face to face in the beatific vision. These are spiritual things. And these have been brought to us in the hands of God. And God has handed these things over to us as his blessed children, as his favored ones. And he has said in effect, all is yours. All is yours. All that my heart devised, all that my Son purchased, all that the Spirit makes known to the people of God in the way of the Scripture, it is all yours. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Who would envy, therefore, the worldly man who blesses of material good and who rejoices in all his prosperity, but it's earthly. We have those things which are spiritual. And God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So they are divine and they are spiritual. And lastly, they are heavenly. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what does this mean? Well, my friends, it's a full little statement in a way. It means that all our blessing began in heaven when God determined to save his people and to bring them out of the bondage and thraldom of sin and bring them in to the abundance, into the kingdom of heaven itself. Christ in heaven has been made the great depository of the blessings. He is the trustee of the everlasting covenant. All the good that God will ever bestow upon his people is now in the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he sends this blessing to us by the Holy Spirit from heaven and sends it into the souls of his people. And these blessings qualify us for enjoyment here of grace and glory to come. The whole of what we shall enjoy is laid up for us in heaven itself. And even now as I speak, the inhabitants of that upper world are enjoying heavenly blessing. And the day is going to come when we as believers shall be ourselves in the full enjoyment of these things in heaven. Christ has taken possession of heaven for us, and he has gone to prepare a place for us and make ready all our benefits so that they will surprise us when we enter, and they will overwhelm us as we continue in that heaven, and they will supply us forever and forever in heaven itself. These, friends, are the characteristics of the blessings we have. And God looks upon the poorest saint here this morning, the meanest child of God, and he says, you have a blessing which is divine, has come from the throne of glory, come by the decree of Almighty God into your soul, Christ and pardon and peace. And these just the beginnings of the blessings to come. They are divine and they are spiritual. They have come as the special blessings of heaven to your soul, conveyed by the Holy Spirit to perform a spiritual purpose superior to everything temporal, to equip you for living the Christian life. And they include everything which the gospel holds forth and presents. And they are heavenly because they were conceived in heaven, and they will be finally conferred in heaven. And there these blessings await us. What friends is in prospect? What glories, what beauties, what enjoyments, what joys are there in heaven for the people of God? Now when we think of these blessings, divine and spiritual and heavenly, can you catch the spirit of the apostle and say with him, blessed be God. I, poor unworthy sinner as I am, have a reason to speak well of God this morning. I may not be able to speak well of myself. I may have nothing in which I can myself glory in, but I can speak well of my God. And I can declare what he has done for my soul. What has he done? Hear it again. He has blessed me. With what has he blessed me? With divine, spiritual, and heavenly blessings. What the world, if it knew, would envy and covet and aspire to attain. All these things have been brought into my life by an act of sovereign grace, and I have become the recipient of more than I can express this morning. And whatever I will be in the years and ages and eons to come, I shall be a blessed soul, for I am Christ's. And if I am Christ's, I am blessed. And if I am blessed, I have ground and warrant to spend my days speaking well of God and blessing the God who has blessed me. Blessed be God. Amen.